Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for April the 7th, 2025. We are in the Hebraic calendar month of Nisan 5785. So thanks all for joining us. We've got a special guest with us this evening, Pastor Wade Butler. He was the prior chaplain for the Republic, and he's featured in the calendar this month, and I invited him to come and share his wisdom and insights with you all. So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that where two or three are gathered, there you are. Your kids are here showing up to seek your heart, seek your face, let go of the cares we carry from the day, from the week. Trust you, trust your guidance into your direction. Two or three are gathered, you really are there, and you give us the insights that when we're out of the battle, we may not see. So we commit this time to you, Lord. We thank you that we are in exciting days, not only in the Republic, in the nation, in the world, in the turning of worlds. In the heavenlies are being shaken and the earth's being shaken, and we get to participate. So we give you praise and glory and honor in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and alleluia. Boy, Wade, you know, I was thinking how to set things up for you and what you are going to share with us this evening. So I want to firstly say that we're in the build-up to the season of Passover. So for all of you who are new to the Hebraic calendar, new to understanding that we as Christians are also called to festivals and remembrances that God put together in the Old Testament for us. And he said, I want you to do these from generation to generation. And somehow the Western Christian Church has taken the Feast of Tabernacles, has taken the Passover, has taken the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and turned it into rabbits that birth Easter eggs. How that happened and how we have swallowed that for so long is beyond me. But I just really am grateful to my brother Wade, who for how many years is it now, Wade, that you've been doing the prayer calendar? Is it 10, 11, something like that?
No, this is the eighth.
This is the eighth year. Okay.
Yeah.
So he gathers together prophecy from all over the world. In fact, he was telling me earlier that he'll gather maybe 400 pages of prophecy together for a month. Then he prays over it and seeks God's heart for it and distills it down to just a mere 130 pages or so, 120 pages. And when you take the time to read the calendar and you look at what God's speaking to our hearts for that day, it's really clear that that this is a work of the Holy Spirit working through him. And so I just want to thank you, Wade, for your long and steadfast work. He's been rehabilitating from some health issues here and comes on with a praise report for the most recent one we prayed about last week. So, Brother Wade, I'm just going to release a call to you, and you share what's on your heart. If you want to share what your calendar entry is, or you want to do some backup for it, or some teaching. Brother, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, sir, so much. And I thank you, everybody, for being here tonight. You didn't know I was coming until probably today, if you got a blast. And I want to talk to you about several things. It is very important this month, the month of Nisan. Most people in the Christian church today in the Western world have lost their roots. For years, I have taught that you need to have Hebrew roots to understand Christian fruits. Christ was a Hebrew. People say Christ was a Christian. No, he was not a Christian. He didn't even create Christianity. He came as a Hebrew, fulfilling the scriptures and the prophecies. So when you go back and look at it, and I hosted a Messianic Hebrew, a lot of them call them Jews for Christ, but you got to understand something. They weren't just Jews. Jews is just a tribe of Judah. There were 12 tribes, so they were Hebrews. That was the form of worship and religion that they had, and many of you, I'm just repeating things. But for all this time, then, when God started doing this, I took this over 8 years ago as far as the calendar. I was a chaplain for 14 and a half years. And the Lord says, I want you to bring out the prophetic side of the word. I want you to train up my bride. I'm sitting there going, now that's a challenge, Lord. He said, train the bride within the republic to give them a foundation of the word and how I look at things. I went, okay. And he said, they do not generally, now some people, you know, really research, but generally they do not know the prophetic because they're coming out of denominational churches. And I went, okay. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to, how do you want me to handle this? And he gave me a format. Prior to that, Jim Geiger and, oh my goodness, who was the other guy? This is terrible. He'd be really mad at me.
Roger.
Yep. Were the ones, and they were given a scripture, just a scripture a month. I said, well, a scripture a month doesn't cut it. We need to have a scripture for every day. And then the Lord says, no, I want a prophetic word for every day. So I research about 60 plus, a lot of people that aren't on Elijah's Dreams or Elijah List, prophets that do not, you know, from different countries and everything. And then we have 12 that have either been on this prayer call or part of it or involved in other prayer groups that I'm involved with nationally and internationally. So the foundation of the word that you get is a fresh word every month. Now, some of it's repeated. Let's just say if I have 12 contributing authors out of 30 days. So you know you're going to have a repeat of word that has been posted. But what do we do? If you look up scripture and study it, the word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we often interpret this and the testimony of, you know, of our word, where, you know, it's actually our testimony. It's not our testimony he's talking about. He says it's the word of the testimony. And what's the word of the testimony? It's the word of God. And testimony means to repeat. So to repeat the word, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by repeating the word. Now, in that word, it gave us a foundation. I got healed. I got delivered. I got saved. And that's our personal testimony. But the reference was the Word of God. I'm part of Gloria Zion Church. I had a Rhema Church prior, and the Lord told me to give it away and come and sit under Chuck Pierce. And for years, I'd been teaching about the kingdom. And I said, Lord, why do you want me to give my church away? He said, I want you to go take you to the next level. I said, okay. Why do you want me to go sit under Chuck Pierce and Robert Heidler? Now, I knew them. Knew of them, you know, listen to them sometimes. He says, they teach on the kingdom. I said, I teach on the kingdom. And Holy Spirit says, yeah, and you got it wrong. And I went, wow. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do? He says, I want you to go up there and you don't tell them particularly who you are. Just go sit and listen. And you're going to learn and you're going to become a part of things. And he says, and you'll, and I've got assignments for you. I said, okay. So I had been up there all of, oh, I was running back and forth every month, once a month, through their conferences for quite a while, and Papa Hagen died. And I said, look, I need a new covering. Chuck, will you become my covering? I said, I've followed you now for years. I've never found you wrong in any book, any prophecy that you've ever done, and I need what is here. The Lord's told me to come here. He prayed for 6 months before he had transferred my ordination. And I said, I'd greatly respect that. I said, if you did it just because myself or anybody had asked, that would have been wrong. I said, you waited till Holy Spirit told you about it. And he said, we're having a big tent revival on our property, which was in North Texas, just north of Dallas, Denton. And he said, we're going to do it on Passover. Now, we don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the feast. I've been celebrating the feast for 38 years. And I went, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, you know, honor you. And it's not that I'm wrapped in tradition or anything. I just honor the feast because he said to. These certain feasts, three of the feasts, are going to be, you know, celebrated for eternity in heaven. I said, okay, I'll do that. So when I go up there and they're teaching this, I went, oh, these people understand the foundations. And I sat down and started finding out what I was missing. And all I was missing was the prophetic, because I came out of the Baptist church. Nothing wrong with Baptists. I got saved there. And then I went independent Bible, and then I went full gospel. My Bible school was correspondence school with Kenneth Hagin's church and ministry. And I merged into where I am today. And the guy said, okay, I've got assignments for you. Most of those assignments have been prayer, dealing with the Holy Spirit, dealing with what God's doing. Now, if you've got the counter, if you don't, I recommend you download it. You really ought to have it. It ought to be part of what you do every month. And so you can have a reference of what God is saying. It's just another reference. It's a study guide. It's meant to be looked at daily. Bruce and Linda are my wonderful, incredible editors. And without them, it would be a disaster. So they are a major part of what goes on every month. John Rockwell, who was in charge of the Senate, he was Senate pro tem for a while. He has also stepped down because God said make room for other people. He and his wife have helped tremendously, and a lot of hours go into this, in this research and development. Barbara Wintrouble, who I've known for quite a while, and Chuck Pierce, who I'm under, came out with a word. I'm just going to read the cover, and it says it's a season of hope that has now arrived. A lot of people look at Trump and look at everything that's going on, and they go, it's a disaster. It's not a disaster. He's doing what God told him to do. Not everybody's going to like it, appreciate it, or understand it. And that's okay. I got calls from different people in the stock market and some of the brokerage houses. I deal in finance and different trading. And they said he's going to take it down at least 20 points, if not greater, and it's going to cause a major shift in the stock market. And we've been called in early tomorrow to be prepared for it. Well, that's actually preparing the way for other things. It is going to be an adjustment that needs to be made, and it's going to make a difference. You just got to hold on. So don't be panicked. Don't go out and do anything stupid. If you're going to do anything, maybe buy gold or silver. But other than that, take advice of those that work with you. Because this is what was said. This is not a season to look forward into the future. Well, I'm in the prophetic realm, so I look all the time into that. But to know hope has already arrived. I'm coming to break every assignment of hope deferred off of my people in this hour. You've longed for this time. I have heard your prayers, and I've stored them up. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And I will rain upon you in a new way. I'm going to bring hope in a new way. I'm going to bring hope that you've looked to for the hopelessness of the past days. You're in that season. You have stepped across into a new era that I prepared for you. So rise up. Break into the new. Get ready. Quit rehearsing the past and step into the present and the new. Now, I could easily go into the whole thing about all the calendar and take a look at it. I mean, it gives a foundation all the way through. But because of time and things that we want to get done tonight, we're going to talk about a book that I've written. It's just in a manuscript form right now. It's not even completed. It's getting close. It's called The Heart of the Seer, Journey to Meet the King. And this is actually one of the closing chapters. Right now it's in chapter 6, but the Lord's already told me I'm going to relay it out. And I'm going to preface it with God has said, he said this happened September a year ago, not last year, a year before that, so a year and a half. He said, heaven and earth have collided. And I went, what do you mean? He said, it's not a long journey to get to heaven. It's not having to go through some portal at a great distance away. He says, literally, earth is in the atmosphere of heaven, and I am here. And many have taught that the angelic forces have come. He says, I didn't send them. I went, oh, Lord, did all these prophets get it wrong? He says, no, I brought them. I went, whoa. And then he said, I want you to tell the people to come up here. Come into my presence. Seek me while I may be found, because I am in their presence. And literally, he says, I want you to come and sit at my table. Well, what does that mean? Come sit at his table. There's many tables in heaven. There's tables in heaven looks like earth. Earth was created to look what heaven looks like, but we polluted it. Broke it down. Heaven is incredible. There's been many people that have seen heaven. There's many people, the young artist, I forget her name right now, that has drawn Christ and drawn pictures of heaven ever since she was a little girl. Award-winning artist. She's just does powerful work. And then you have people that some folks have a real issue with, Kat Kerr and some others. Kat Kerr is a real deal. You talk to Kat. Francis has been on her, presented many questions that she answers on her show, and my wife Francis. And I didn't know Kat, didn't know about her until a couple years ago. And I didn't read her books until after these things started happening to me. I have always been a sensitive in the psychic realm or a seer. I grew up in the psychic world, and I got saved and came out of that. And the Lord honored me to keep the ability to see, hear, and know and understand. It's just it was Him, what He was saying, not all the confusion and everything that was out there. I used it to manipulate my business and people and other things. And when I repented, God said, I have a direction for you. I'm going to show you things. Well, back in my early days of ministry, and I've been in ministry 43 years, I would say things in front of different churches, and it would really cause some problems. I was doing youth rally at a Presbyterian church, and not to offend anybody, but it's going to happen tonight. So, and I got up, and I was talking to the elders that asked me to come in there, and I said, you have some major issues, and it's going to cause some problems, and you have to be aware of them. And they said, what? I said, your pastor's having an affair with this deacon's wife, and your associate pastor is having an affair with his wife because he's cheating on her. And I says, the entire church is going to collapse within 30 days. And they looked at me like I had four eyes and I was crazy. Within 30 days, it all was exposed. The church collapsed. The Presbytery, as they call it, had to come in and totally reorganize, bring all new leaders in. It cost several hundred people left the church, and it was horrible. That was one of the nicer things He showed me, that I had to say things. And I went, Lord, it got to a place I was gun-shy. And I'd only talk about the prophetic amongst the people that I were in my churches. And then a few years back, at a conference, I met a gentleman named Blake Lively. Blake had been a seer all of his life, ever since he was 3 years old. And it was really confusing because he was seeing things all the time. And Christ started speaking to him at a very young age. And then he wrote a book about it, and he hosts all the time. And I got to talk to him, and I said, Blake, I said, I've been a closet seer. I kind of backed off because I had so many denominations and people just really abuse me over these things. And I said, I've had to soften my approach. I used to walk around with a hammer. A dear friend of mine, it's called the Canadian Hammer. Okay. And, every once in a while you see an article in the Word from him. And, you know, like I said, Barry Wuntz is a dear, dear friend. We've been running together for about 3.5-4 years now. And I could have been the American Hammer because I walked around with a ball peen hammer and I'd hit people right between the eyes with it. And the Lord says, I want you to soften it. I went, okay. So I did it for a while, and He said, all you did was cover it with velvet. He says, still hurts like hell. I went, okay, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to love people in the kingdom, not hit them between the eyes. I went, oh, that's how I'm supposed to do it. And he says, yep. I said, okay. So I quit saying a lot of things about what I see or what I hear until I met with Blake. And Blake was standing there. He says, wait, I was in this congregation of 2,000 people. And he said, Christ was standing next to me on the platform. And when I gave the altar call, I said, I want everybody that wants to receive this anointing from Christ to stand up. He says, everybody stood up, the whole 2,000 people. And Christ turned to him. He says, now, Blake, this is going to shock you, but just watch. And Christ separated Himself and was standing in front of all 2,000 people at the same time that He was next to Blake. And he said he was ministering, and some people had their arms crossed. They weren't going to receive. Others were weeping and crying, and Christ would have His hand on him. And then when time was through, He came back into Himself. And Blake went, this is your omnipresence. He says, yes. He says, you're in heaven. You're here. You're all around the world at the same time. He says, yes. It's not just me. It is me, but I manifest Myself. He says, okay. And at that point, I said, I've seen that, Blake. And he says, then start telling people. So you're going to hear part of it tonight. Chuck Pierce last week came out, or it's actually 2 weeks ago. He said, we've been invited to the table. And this is what I want to tell everybody. You've been invited to the table of the Lord. You've been invited to sit down and sup with him. Literally, he wants you to get to know him as he knows you. He says, you know, that we always say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He says, people don't understand. They haven't looked at Matthew. They haven't looked at other areas that if I'm in you, you're in me. And I went, okay, when he first told me this, I says, then I got to make a premise, Lord. If you're in me and I'm in you, when you sit down in with the Father or go into the Father, I'm going into the Father. And he grinned. He says, you got it. I said, so literally those times when the anointing's so great that I'm just overwhelmed, that's when your presence is in the Father. He says, yes. I said, whoa, this is kind of heavy, Lord. And he says, you've got to let the people know that heaven and earth are together. You're in the atmosphere. And he says, you're like a baseball compared to us in heaven. That's how big heaven is compared to. And he says, and all of you that are my sons and daughters here are going to be manifest in heaven, and you're going to experience all of it. He says, but I want you to be at my table. So this is what the Lord said the other day. He says, I'm beginning to rearrange the table that you will be coming to. I'm preparing a table before you. Get ready, for I will have a banqueting people in the days ahead. That means we're going to be feasting. The celebration of what my people is now being placed within them, and the sound that I am bringing forth from heaven is rearranging the tables here on earth. Get ready to watch the table that I have a feast prepared at for you. For I am rearranging the tables for you and what is coming ahead. I'm like, wow. Wow. Lord, that's really powerful. And then he invited me. Now, I pray with different prayer groups. In this particular group, there's 8 of us. We represent 8 continents. Some of them are the women in charge of Women Aglow. Others are pastors. Others are prophets. And then there's several of us that from the United States, 3 of us that come on a regular basis. And we go before the Lord and we ask for an appointment. We literally ask him, can we have an appointment? We want to come up and talk to you. And so many times he's done this. So this is what we call an ascension, that you're in your body, but you're actually in the spirit. You're going to step out and you're going to see something. So recently during ascension, now this is a while ago, a group of us intercessors were brought to a place that I'd seen before, and I had. At the same time, each experience is always different. On this occasion, Frances, my wife, and I stood at the edge of a waterfall enjoying the fresh mist around us, which is really interesting. You can get absolutely totally soaked from a waterfall in heaven, and then when you step out, you're dry. It is what it is. And we stood at the edge of this waterfall enjoying the fresh mist, and he called us forward. And I looked back, and there he was, and he was on his patio. Now, there's homes in heaven, as he talks about, his mansions. I'm preparing a mansion for you. And heaven is so big that he'll take the billions that are on earth now and the billions that have always been, and you might, you know, it could be your miles and miles away from a next house or a mansion, but you're going to have your own mansion, your own place. And I was looking at all the beauty and everything, and he says, come up here. And we went up on his patio. Now, Christ's home would be considering like the Biltmore, if any of you have ever been to one of the Biltmore hotels or seen it in Canada or other places. It's massive, and his gardens are just incredible, and the balcony overlooks a river that goes off a cliff above it in the mountains and comes down, and it flows literally into the Crystal Sea. And I'm sitting there going, wow, and all the animals and everything. And I was explaining to Robert, he said, you know, what's heaven like? I said, it's like the movie Narnia, the first one. The animals speak, the flowers speak. When Christ walks by, trees turn and bow. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, the sound, the music, the colors. Well, he told us to sit down, all 8 of us. So we sat down in these handmade chairs, no nails, no glue, no screws. And all of a sudden, the chairs form around us. I'm going, whoa. They were handmade, carved exquisitely by the master carpenter himself. The table was a cross cut of an ancient tree that was massive. This table was probably 4.5-5 feet across and close to 40-50 feet, but it wasn't a rectangle. It was like a tree, you know, a slice of a tree. And you could see thousands of age rings in that tree. And I was looking at it and the chairs, and we said, I said, Lord, everything up here, including the rocks, cry out, I need to ask you a question. And some of you have maybe read this. It's actually tomorrow. But I said, he says, what? He already knew what I was going to ask him. I said, everything's alive in heaven. Is this table and chairs alive because they conformed to our bodies? And he says, yes, of course it is. At that point, I'm going to shock you all, the table spoke. And he says, I am alive. Well, that causes you to sit back. And he says, I was hewn by my master's hands, and now I'm more beautiful than ever. Plus, I'm used by my Lord to entertain his children. It caused me to sit back in amazement. And then I leaned forward and put my hands against it like you would to pull up to a table, and light flashed out of my fingers. And it hit into those circle lines, the tree lines. And all of a sudden, it ran around the whole table, and then there was a spot, and it lit up a little dot. And I went, wow. I said, what is this? And the table said, everyone who dines here leaves their code of life, our DNA, in my veins. I want you to think about that. I'm literally going to take you on a journey. You sit at the table of the Lord on his patio or in his banquet hall. There's many tables. And every one of them are alive. And when you sit down at the table here on earth or in heaven, your DNA that Christ has put in you is now embedded in the table. And you go, what? Yeah, it's literally, you're registered in heaven. And immediately I heard the sound of footsteps. And I turned to my left and it was angels. And they were our waiters. And I'm sitting there going, boy, now that's pretty heavy. You got angels as your butlers and stuff. And they brought trays of food that was the most incredible tasting thing I've ever tasted. But every person has something they like. You might like seafood. Okay, Debbie Sharp, I'm going to pick on you. What's your favorite food? Yeah, unmute yourself and tell me.
Fresh green salad.
Okay, is anything else? Do you like a particular meat or a fish or anything like that?
Oh, I love a grass-fed hamburger.
All right, so if that's your favorite food, that's what you would get. Mine is backstrap. It could be elk, deer, moose, beef, you know, and with a salad and some fresh vegetables with fruit mixed in them. And, you know, it's like a fruit salad. And that's what I had, and it was the exact amount to satisfy. Every bite was the most incredible thing I'd ever tasted, you know. And, you know, my mouth was watering, just look at it. And then I looked at Yeshua and he said, you know, I looked and said, Lord, you always have multiple meanings and intent of what you present. So I've got to ask you something. Okay. What have we really eaten? And he looked at me and he laughed. And Christ loves to laugh. He loves joy. Okay, and he said this. He says, you have dined on what you need. Just as food on earth provides for your body's needs, my food in heaven provides for your spiritual needs. My question to you is, what did you come up here to ask me for? Now, I won't go into all the background the first time you see Christ, because you're going to humble yourself and you're going to worship and all that. I jumped right to the point where he was there. And I said, Lord, I came to ask you for wisdom because you've already showed me what I'm getting ready to face this next year or two, and I need your wisdom. And he says, you're correct. Now, this was the September, you know, 2 years ago. And he said, what you have eaten is heavenly wisdom for that which is about to take place in your life, and you're going to need to make some changes and do some things. Each of us, of the eight that were there, was something they're inquiring of the Lord from, something you needed. It could have been healing. It could have been salvation. And what surprises you when you get into the situation with Christ, you think you're going to ask him 1,000 questions. You're lucky to get 4 out. And it'll surprise you. It's often, I'm going up there, I'm going to pray for my son or my daughters, or I'm going to pray for my family or my loved ones. That's not what comes out of you. What comes out of you is your deepest heart. You need to know something. You need revelation. Others, they just wanted his presence. But all of us dined with the Lord with great joy and fulfillment. And he's been inviting his children to dine at his table for some time and to delight in what he's prepared. What is he prepared for us at the table? It's his word. What did I say earlier? He says, I want you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, which is his word. He says, so you're going to dine at the table on my word. So when we come and sit in a Bible study or have Robert or Bruce and Linda or any of those people that have contributed, you're literally dining. And you sit at the table and your DNA is registered in heaven that you are there at this time, at this event, dining with the Lord. And if we'll start opening our eyes, we'll start seeing that which is around us. Back when the prophet was saying that the sub-prophets came to him and said, Lord, Lord, what's going on? And he said, open your eyes. He asked the Lord to open his eyes and they could see the armies of the Lord. Well, it's the same thing. The angels are all around you. Heaven is all around you. To say it's glorious would be the most understatement that I could ever make. We were literally ushered into the mountain of the Lord on so many occasions, and this was one that happened soon after. We were praying again. Now, this was something that we did every 2 weeks, this international group and I. We came to talk to the Lord, and we were ushered into the mountain of the Lord. Now, we talk about the seven mountains all the time, and, so many people, Enloe and others, Henderson's, all these folks talk about the seven mountains. Well, there's an eighth mountain. The eighth mountain is the mountain of the Lord, and the seven mountains on earth look like, foothills. And to say it was incredible would be really kind of cutting it short. So I'm giving you two different visions so you'll get a big picture. And I turned, I'm bold, and I said, Lord, where are we? And he said, because you could hear the Father, you could hear Adonai saying, come this way. And we were going down this path, and it was probably 10, 12 feet wide, and it was smooth stones. And everywhere we stepped, it was misty, and everywhere we stepped, it would clear up. You could see all of a sudden. And I could see the seven mountains below us that represented the mountains of on earth. He said, but then the voice came that all of us heard. It was the voice of Adonai. He says, this is the mountain of the Lord. And he led us down that path and through a forest, incredible pristine forest, animals, beauties beyond imagination. You can't even describe the colors or the smells. It's very trite. I mean, we don't have words for it. And there was this lake. And on the lake, there was a pillar of fire like a tornado swirling. And I went, okay, Lord, I got to ask him, where are we? He says, you're on the mountain where I dwell. And I said, Lord, Father, Adonai. Are you not on the throne? He said this back, and he says, have you not seen my son manifest many times? And I said, yes, I've seen him stand before a billion angels, one at a time. And he says, who do you think taught him? He says, he has a mansion to dwell in, and so do I. But I have this mountain. This is where my spirit dwells. I said, but you're on the throne. He says, I am on the throne. And he says, but I dwell on this mountain. I said, okay. And I looked at the lake, there was a mist coming up. That fire was evaporating the water. And a column of fire appeared, right before us. And I said, is this your presence? And he said this, as with Moses, I am. So he's letting me know, yeah, this is the I am. The fire was evaporating the water, only to have it go up through the center of it, like a tornado in the center, and then come out above it and come back down like rain and fill the lake back up. And I looked at him and I said, Lord, the droplets look like diamonds and gold. And even before I could ask, he said, this is the bowl of tears of prayers of my sons and daughters that have come up continually before me. I know every prayer, every tear from every heart. Oh, and once again, I had to ask him. I said, Lord, is this the prayers of the church? And he says, no, this is only my sons and daughters. Enter into the fire. Now, you got eight of us from different parts of the world, different cultures, Australia, Germany, South America, Africa, Central America. These leaders are, these prayer leaders. And, so you have different cultures, different mindsets. And when the Lord says, step out on the lake and come into the pillar of fire, you go, okay. And you don't even think about it. You just step out on the water, and you're walking on water like it's solid ground, and you walk right into the fire. We entered in. So we did what the only thing that mattered. We stepped in to the fire of God. And as we entered into the presence of the Lord, he flowed through us, peeling away every layer of hurt, curses, pain, tears from trauma. They all melted into the lake like the prayers below us, and we were crying. We were all weeping. The presence of God was so incredible. And the fire would, you know, pull up the tears, and it would go up into the heavens. And all of a sudden, I'm saying, Lord, I understand that all the prayers are saved. And he says, yeah, they're bowls of prayers. He says, this is the tears that were shed with those prayers. And I said, Lord, I need to understand something. What are you showing us? He says, I'm showing you my great love. He says, these tears go back to the beginning of time and into the future, tears that are yet to be shed. And he says, I bring them up over and over again in front of me and bring them back down. And he says, now is the time and this is the season for my sons and daughters to know that which I'm doing, to bring you to the point of revelation to know my great love. Now, at Christmas time this year, I had to have a major back surgery in October. And they replaced three discs and put rods in my back. And a lot of people say, what did you do? You know, are you in sin? No. It's just years of wear and tear, and my body broke. And I cried out. I said, Lord, you could heal me. He says, yeah, I know. And he says, you're going to recover on the backside of the surgery. And I went, do I need to go through this? And he says, yeah, because you have to learn some things, and I got to show you some things. I said, okay, and I shed many a tear. So when it came to the holiday season, and we celebrate Christmas differently. It's not the birth of Christ, it's the conception of Christ. He was born on tabernacles. The ancient text and the historians, Josephus and others, show that he was born on our calendar. It would be like it was the first day of Tabernacles, 3 BC, that he was born. They all know it. The Hebrews know it. Okay, and it's in the Vatican chambers. It's in the Hebrew text. He was conceived on or about Christmas Day. So we celebrate the holidays, but we celebrate them different. We really put a lot of emphasis into Tabernacles coming up again and worship him. And he said, you know, I'm sitting there, my request for the holidays, I said, I have a gift that I'm asking for you, of you. And Holy Spirit says, what's that? I said, I need to experience more of your love. I said, it's been a very challenging year for me. I had to walk away from something I loved. The people I love. To get on small groups, to battle in realms that most people would not even begin to understand. To work with government officials and financial officials worldwide and in areas that are hand-to-hand combat with principalities. I said, Lord, people are not going to believe me. He said, doesn't matter, does it? And I said, no. All that matters is what you tell me to do. That I do the assignments you gave me. And I said, I need more of your love. He said, did I not show you my love in the column of fire and the tears? And I said, yeah. He says, did I not show you the love when I walk you through the streets of the New Jerusalem? I said, yeah. He says, did you not dance with David? I said, yeah. He said, have you not seen the hall of angels and the temple? And I said, yeah. He says, I've shown you my love. I said, yeah, I want even more of it. I want the anointing of your glory, that I can release your glory everywhere I go. I want to be able to pray and see things happen. And I says, I have had to fight for everything, every step of the way for 40-some years. I'm asking for, I never asked him for a break. Last time I asked him for a break, I was going to Africa to minister and do some business, and I broke my leg because I wasn't supposed to go, and I was being hard-headed, so I broke my leg. I said, that's not the break I had in mind, Lord. Now, Jim and a couple other folks on the call can appreciate some of the stuff I've been through. I'm kind of a Peter. I'm a little hard-headed, and I charge in. And I said, Lord, yes, you show me your great love. You died for me. I can't pay you back. I can't do anything other than surrender to you. I just want the overwhelming presence of you So now I cry like a baby all the time. I'm sitting there going, I'm 75 year old. I've been through a lot. I've was an athlete. I've done a lot of things, been a lot of places. I didn't think I could cry for years and years. I couldn't cry. Nothing would make me cry. And then he's just softened my heart and softened my heart and softened my heart. And we've seen things. Robert has been together with me. We've seen things happen that are the manifestations of the Lord that cannot be described other than this is what happened. Right now, he's saying to all of us, everybody that's on this call and everybody that'll listen in, he says, I have a place for you at my table. Now, I'm not talking about your table down here, the table of study, the table of sitting in his presence during teaching. He wants to invite you individually and your loved ones or those you pray with to come up before him, to be at his table at on his patio or in the banquet hall or different places in heaven. He said, heaven and earth have collided. I started preaching this 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago. And now the prophets are saying, heaven's here, heaven's here, heaven's collided. I heard it from one today. Matter of fact, Dutch Sheets. If you don't listen to Dutch Sheets, give him 15. Sign up for give him 15 and listen to Dutch Sheets. He prays for 15 minutes every day. He has now millions, 36, 37 million people that follow him. Best prayers that you're going to find starting your day off and what's going on. And Dutch, I don't need to go into that. He has said, I'm here. Now, Dutch was even talking about it today, about coming out of a book that was just recently written and about the presence of the Lord. And he's saying that everybody, I want to show everybody my love. I want to show everybody what heaven's all about. Now, I could go on. I got a book coming out. It won't be another month or two before it comes out. It's got 60 different situations of seeing, hearing, or being in the presence. I'll give you one other, give you a word of confirmation, and then I'll turn it back over to Robert after I pray. My wife Frances and I said, I need to ask the Lord about angels. And she says, we don't worship angels. I said, no, but you know, there's six of them that run with us. She says, yeah, you know them by name. I said, yeah. And the names are classifications. You very seldom get their actual name. They're classifications of angels. A contender, avenger, renewer, revival, restorer. There's different names. Defender, you know, you have different names. Great grace. He gave me great grace. I really needed great grace. Mercy. And I said, I need to know more about angels. So I stepped into one of these situations. There's something we do. There's a certain way we pray. We take communion. We ask forgiveness for everything short of shooting the Pope. We, you know, come before him in prayer and thanksgiving and worship. And we literally step through the cross. You literally, in the spirit, you step through the cross and through the blood, and you're in his presence. It could be anywhere. It could be in the garden. And the garden in heaven, you know, how that little place over there in the middle of, you know, east where the garden was supposed to be. The garden in heaven is as big as the United States and Canada. It's massive. Heaven's massive. You know, I call it the planet heaven. It's massive. And I said, I need to see two things. So he took me through the temple again. We go through the temple a lot. We go down the sides where the priests would go and out the back door. And there was a place. And I looked at it, and I told Robert about it today. I could not see the sides on either side where it ended or how tall it was. I knew it was a couple hundred feet tall. But it looked like it was a mile wide on each side. And there was 50-foot tall doors that weighed tonnage. And angels opened the door, and Christ and I stepped in. And I said, where is this? And he says, it's the Hall of Angels. And I looked to the left, and I could not believe the tunnels. He says, you're looking at them as tunnels, but they're portals. They're open always. That's why you don't pray for a portal. You pray for open heavens. He says, portals are open 24/7, and warfare is always at those places. I said, okay. And he says, they're all around the earth. And he said, that's where the hosts go. That's where the troops, that's where the legions go through. And Michael's in charge of the legions, along with Enoch. And over to the right side, I couldn't count the number of angels. It's like looking at a 1,000-acre field that's full of grass and trying to count every blade. There were that many angels. He says, these are, I said, who are these? Because these look like angels, but they also look like people. And he says, these are the ministering spirits assigned to each person. each son and daughter. I went, okay. And I said, you tell Michael and Enoch what to tell the troops to get to, and you tell each one those others what to do? He says, yeah. And he says, Wade, just hold on. And he split out and manifests himself to a billion angels and tells each one of them. That's like, whether you all believe it or not, can't be my concern. I'm just going to tell you what happened and what I saw. And then after he did that, he came back into himself and he says, you also wanted to see the garden. I went, yeah. And all of a sudden, one step and we're in the garden. Different part of heaven. You know, we're in the garden. And the largest tree in the garden is the tree of life. It's beautiful. It's absolutely incredible. The fruit on it looks like the size of Nerf footballs. And it looks like pears. And the reason that's because it looks like honey oil dripping off of them. So it kind of has a golden, like they're gold, the fruit on it. And it's got a dome over it. And it's got angels and big angels. And I said, why? Nothing can get in, up here to get to that. Why is there a dome and why are there angels on four corners? He said, you would consider it an honor guard. I said, okay. And he says, I said, how long do they stand? He says, on earth, you would consider it 24 hours. I went, all right. And I said, then they swap out. And he says, yes. And I said, well, a day on earth is, you know, 1,000 days on earth is like a day in heaven. He says, that's right. I said, so we haven't even been 7 days in heaven. The thousands of years of what we know as earth. And he said, that's right. He said, but there is no time to us. I said, I get that. And then I looked out back towards the tree again, and there was a man with 8 women. And I'm looking, and they were about 50 yards away, and you look like kind of a hologram when you're in the spirit. And I'm looking, and I can't make them out. And all of a sudden, they turn around, because the angel pointed that we were here, and they turn around and wave. What are you going to do? You're standing in heaven. People wave at you. You wave back. We just, hey, you know, and Christ, and myself, and Enoch standing right there. We're waving. And I turn to Christ, and I turn to Enoch, back and forth, and I go, they're being given a tour by angels? And I said, yeah, they wanted to do the same thing you wanted to do. You wanted to know about that. So he downloaded a bunch of stuff in me. And I turned to Enoch and I said, a friend of mine talks about you all the time. And I said, his name's Matt. He was part of this prayer call for many, many years, 8 to 10 years. And I said, Matt hosts 5 international prayer calls per week. And I said, with leaders of the world, okay, nations. And I said, tell him I said hello next time you see him. And he laughed. And Christ said, all right, Wade, Enoch's going to take you back. And I said, okay. And I turned to Enoch and we're talking. I said, well, you know, tell him I said hello. He says, I'll do that. And he was kind of chuckling. And then next morning I get up. This was 9:30 at night on Tuesday night. Wednesday morning I get up, my phone, Matt. It's 7:30 in D.C. He works in that arena for the government at the time. He's retired now. And I said, Matt, I got to tell you something. I said, I was in an ascension, and I was at the Tree of Life, and I described it, and I said, he said, what time was that? I said, well, my time, it was 9:30. Matter of fact, it was 9:34 p.m. And he says, yep. And he said, did a man and 8 women wave at you? And I said, yeah. He says, Wade, that was our group. I said, that was the ladies and you? And he says, yeah. He says, we saw you over there standing with Enoch and Christ. I'm sitting there going, now here's a man in a different part of the world with 8 people from different parts of the world who all acknowledge that they saw me and I saw them in heaven. So I'm telling you folks, it's real. There's no barrier except your belief and your heart to ask. So Father, I come in the name of Yeshua by the precious blood to say this. I make a declaration over these people that you're going to give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart of understanding to know that what you desire for them to walk in, that they will have a greater, deeper relationship, that they would have the revelation of you in their lives and in their families, that they could actually say, I was there. That they would know and understand your great love. I thought I knew it as a minister and a teacher for all these years, and I didn't have an inkling of an idea. I did not understand your kingdom, And now when I pray that prayer that you laid out, Lord, Father who art in heaven, holy, 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 hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I understand now the kingdom of heaven is here. We just have to claim it into earth realm. Wow. On earth as it is in heaven. I claim it mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. And he's opened doors and put me in front of people I never imagined. I grew up in a log shack on the swamp of Virginia. My dad was the town drunk, and I had to fight for everything I ever had in my life, everything I ever did, even to get through school. I left home at 15, and I was not particularly a good guy, okay, because I had to fight. And when I came to the Lord, I was a man. I was 33. Now, he talked to me when I was 14, and I was seeing things all along, but I was using them to my benefit, not for him. And he says, I've called you. And I said, Lord, help me to see. And now for this next 40 years, he's revealed things and revealed things. And the word says your latter days will be greater than your former. Over these last 3.5 years, I see far more than I ever saw. I see in a month things that took me a year to see. Have the clarity to talk with and walk with, and it's available to everybody. He said, if you will just tell them and have them ask me, and he says, to open up their eyes and open up their ears, I will begin to do it. So, Father, that's my declaration and decree over all that have eyes and ears to hear, that their heart would be receptive to your great love, and the outpouring of your Spirit will come upon them, that the light of your glory would be released upon them right now. And Holy Spirit, I'm asked that literally you fall afresh. And Robert's been with me when he's seen that happen, and 140 men hit the ground, Lord, in a meeting we were at. I didn't touch anybody. I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't do anything other than ask you to fall. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to fall upon everyone here in their lives. I'm asking for the glory of you to be manifest, that they would see, know, and understand who they are as sons and daughters, kings and priests. The greatest position in heaven is not a king, even though we are, it's a son or a daughter. And you are here. The enemy was cast down, tabernacles 3 years ago to earth, and you said, woe to you inhabitants of the earth. So many people are waiting to be ruptured out because it's not a rapture. You said, I'm going to take out the ultimate wicked first, and that's happening. They're being exposed. They're being taken out. Doesn't mean a rapture. It means they're being taken out of position. And you're stalling your people into those positions. We were supposed to be the ecclesia, those that governed. And we're gaining knowledge of governance. So help us now to see, know, and understand your great love, your glory, and the power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that peace that surpasses understanding would come upon us. And that as you call these men and women into your assignments, that you would equip them, love them, and show them, beyond a shadow of a doubt, your great love for them. And I thank you for this time and this night in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Oh, boy, that sounds like it's time for a shofar, brother. Let's see if I can find one.
All the time. That shofar was blown. I was there when it was blown. And Gloria Zion with Chuck Pearson and that team there several years ago. And
it still releases its power today, brother.
Boy, I tell you. Robert knows that we would blow the shofar all the time on the call. It's just a part of who we are, just summoning the angels and letting God know. And I know that I laid out a bunch of stuff that a lot of you might go, whoa, this might sound a little woo. It's not. It's real.
Well, Brother Wade, you have taken us to the courts of heaven. You've taken us to the table, the banquet table of the Lord. You've taken us to to the mansion of Yeshua. I have a question for you that is more more to do with the contending of the earthly battle that we are facing, certainly in the Republic right now, and that is the discerning of spirits and the spiritual warfare, how we contend with that in a practical way. I wonder if you could take a few minutes and share the story of, I believe her name is Tammy, and yeah, the attack from the devil and witchcraft and all this type of thing, and what you saw and the discerning way that you prayed for this and saw breakthrough in the heavenlies.
Okay, I'd be more than happy. Tammy Yeakley, it's Yeakley. It's like you're going to say yearly without the R, is a wonderful lady. She's a Choctaw out of Oklahoma. Her and Lori Wiggins, and they have a ministry up there that I've been working with for many, many years. And we pray for each other all the time. They have a big ministry. And I got a call a little over a month ago. They had just gotten out of the car, getting ready to walk into the ministry building, and Tammy collapsed in the parking lot. They got her to the hospital, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. Now I'm gonna turn it back just a little bit. Tammy is an archaeologist. She is a linguist, and she's been to Israel on many, many occasions. She took the Choctaw team over there that did the traditional dance and worship that the Native Americans would do. And the Hellenistic Jews came to her, and the priest. They said, "We thank you so much that you taken the time to learn our music to dance with." And they says, "We didn't do that." And they said, no, you're dancing to minor keys, to the downbeats, and this is the music that we use." And they says, no, this is traditional Choctaw music. And they said, "We don't understand." So they did DNA tests on the people there, and they found that the Choctaws and the Cherokees are all out of the tribes of Judah. Think about it. A lot of green and blue-eyed First Nations people, and those are two of the most successful tribes. And their burial mounds have ancient Hebrew text in them, on walls and in scrolls and stuff. So at the time of the Babylonian thing, they all departed. Well, Tammy is used by Israel, number one, to find ancient scrolls, and number two, to translate them. And she and I have been talking for some time now. She says, "Wade, so much was stolen out of Scripture, not just the books of the Apocrypha, and, 66 books to the 80, not just what the Catholic Church did, but the translation. Everybody says they were translated in Greek and Aramaic." She says, "No, they all were first in Hebrew, and then they were translated. And along the way, man and Lucifer has stolen so much, and we were meant to be sons and daughters, positionally, doing what he said to do." I said, "Okay." And I said, I get it. And she says, "I've been translating these ancient scrolls, and Israel wants me there full time. And we had a team. We had this one guy that was head up out of Denmark, and others from different parts of the world. We were all studying together. And the Lord told me that there was a warlock witch's coven within the group, and to expose it." So she brought it out during one of their meetings, and it was the guy from Denmark. He was a warlock, and he actually confessed when they pressed the blood against him that he considered himself one of Satan's sex partners in the spirit. That's kind of kinky, folks. And that his coven were parts of those people from around the world. And they were doing everything they could to stop the translation from the true word of God. So she dismissed them all with the Israeli government and dismissed them. And they said, "We know who you are, we know where you live, and you're going to pay dearly for this." So she's going about her business in Oklahoma City and walking along, and all of a sudden she collapsed. The doctors can't figure out what's wrong. She was in a coma for 38 days. Her kidneys failed, her organs failed, her heart failed. They said, her mind's a vegetative state. Her heart is having to have a pump, keep it going all the time. She was on a she had to have a the breathing apparatus where they did a trach and
the ventilator.
And she had feeding tubes. She had IVs, two IVs in each arm, had them in her feet and legs, and they couldn't figure out what's wrong with her. They did dialysis on her. They did they checked her liver. They checked everything known to man. They did millions of dollars of tests on this woman. They couldn't figure it out. So we're in deep prayer. They didn't call me because they were so wrapped up. They called me about 2 weeks into it, and we started praying, and my group started praying. And there's a team that I pray with every Wednesday from 2:30 to 4:30 at it's United States and Canada pastors and prophets and intercessors. And we're sitting there, and one of those prophets said, "Wait, I got something." I said, "All right." He says, "What does the Lord say about the earth?" And I said, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof." And he said, "That's right." He says, "She is dealing with a coven in the United States in her own tribe. She was dealing with a witch's coven over there, and they have come against her." I said, "Well, then if the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, what do we do?" He says, "Ask the earth to open up and swallow up the witchcraft." I said, "Okay." And then I was talking to Lori, and I said, "This is what we got. A couple of our people that were regulars on this, they contribute to the calendar, April and Terry. They're contributors. He's a prophet, and she's a prophetess. She's out of the Cree Nation, so she understands the witchcraft." So the three of us were coming together and praying. There was 10 of us. John Rockwell was also a big part of that. We were praying about these things, and the Lord gave us those. And then he told me, he says, "They're covering the hospital room with the blood." I went, "Uh-oh." Now, a lot of you have been taught this. I said, so I got her on the phone. And we got this word on Wednesday. I got her Thursday morning. By Thursday night, they did it. I said, "We're going to ask for the earth to open up and swallow up the iniquity of the witches, the covens and everything, because they've cursed the earth. So the earth is the Lord's, even though it's been cursed on the surface." I said, "We're going to ask him to open it up and swallow up the iniquity, just like they did in time of Moses." And I said, "We're going to also, I need to ask you, how are you praying over her?" So, "Well, we plead the blood every day over her in the room." And I said, "Well, I'm going to ask you to change that. I'm going to ask you to repent." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You pray from the core of every cell outward. What you want is to drive out." I said, "Literally, you go into a situation and the doctors have spoken all these curses over the room and the person." I said, "So you got this dome that you've prayed over them and they've got nowhere to go. The curses, the hex, the spells, the wrong statements, the witches, they can't get out because they can't go through the blood. So I want you to release the blood." And I said, "I want you to pray for her that you plead the blood of Yeshua from the core of every cell, every atom in us. It's called the furnace of life. It's called a mitochondria of every cell." I said, "You plead the blood of Yeshua from that outward and plead the glory." And I said, "You don't put a dome over them. You put a hedge around them. It goes from the inside out." And they did those two things. Friday morning, she came out of her coma during the night. Friday morning, they removed the breathing tube. They removed many of the IVs. They took her off of dialysis because all of a sudden, this woman's awake from a coma after 38 days. She's in the 39th day now. And by Monday, which was last Monday, she was sitting up, and they put her in a private room. And she's in therapy. She's starting to walk. She's starting to move. She's starting to talk. They're going to close the trach hole. They got this set flap on it right now. And she's starting to eat. And she's weak, but the doctors could not figure out. And there was two doctors that were praying over, man and wife, were praying over. And they said, "We can't tell you how much we have gained knowledge of warfare." I said, "They don't teach warfare in churches. It's only certain type of churches will teach warfare." I says, "We're in a battle. And if indeed Revelation was fulfilled, Revelation 4 and Revelation 12, 2 and on, where Lucifer and all of his was cast down to earth when Christ said, 'Woe to you, inhabitants of the earth.'" I said, "You got a trillion demons here, fallen angels, and Lucifer's here on earth. They come and go, but now they're all here because they can't inhabit their place. It's been taken from them. The keys were taken from them." And the warfare increased when starting in 2016. It got heavier, but 17, it was crazy and just has gotten worse. All the deception. And that's when the Lord said, "I'm going to expose everything. I'm going to bring everything that was done in darkness into light." And that's what he's doing. Whether you like Trump or not, doesn't make any difference. He's using him and others to expose everything. Well, I said, you got to understand, Tammy has been caught in this eggshell. And the demons that are around her, the witches and the covens and everything, the curses, have been inside that eggshell with her. She's the yolk. I says, you got to break the eggshell and get her out. And I says, you got to separate it. So they did. And she, the doctor said, we've never seen such a miraculous recovery. We've never could understand how she had all the organ failure, how her mind was showing it was blank, it was vegetative, and everything. She's back up talking and walking. And I mean, she's weak and she's gaining ground, but she's looking forward to go home now this coming weeks, probably Thursday. It all came from two prayers. And it all came from warfare. Now, I hate to do this, but in the book, and I produced it, it's actually on the website. The Lord gave me a prayer.
Wait before you go there.
Yeah.
Can I frame it in the way of the what we're seeing in the Republic?
Yes.
So we have seen attacks against key players within the Republic. We saw Dave Hertler get afflicted with a stroke. Gene Hertler getting afflicted with COVID and other
double pneumonia.
We saw Roger Waters fall, and he has been in a real tenuous situation since. He was on his first call that he's been on in months on the leadership call last Wednesday, but he was still quite weak. But it was great to see him, and he was in good spirits, but he's got a lot of rehab to go. We saw the affliction going on with Tim Turner. We see in the Republic attacks against. We see you look at the affliction you had, Wade, with your
back's collapsed.
Your back just collapsed. I mean, this is just one after another after another. And Saturday night, Tim Turner's brother got shot 6 times. His daughter's boyfriend shot her, missed. She ran into the house, and then he shot John 6 times. And from what I know, they've got all, he's alive. They got the bullets out except the one in his hip. So here we have this attack. It is frontal. It is hitting those close to leadership. So now that I framed that, and this, what you've just given in terms of this, you know, we pray carelessly sometimes only in our ignorance. You know, we think we're bleeding the blood, but we're actually encapsulating it there. So this beautiful insight you have on that base, on that kind of foundation, go ahead now and share where
you're going. 2010 gave me a prayer, and it's extensive. I was praying, you know, trying to get into the real warfare of things. And I said, Lord, I'm not covering this. I said, what do you need me to do? And he said, I want you to look like Rambo. He gives you things you can understand when he talks to you. He said, I want you to look like Rambo. I said, how's that? And he said, I want you to have every weapon that's available to you. I went, okay. And he talked to me about the Greek mentality about putting on the armor of God. We see this guy running around, with a short skirt and shin guards and sandals and a round shield and a sword and a helmet. That's not what, when Paul talked about the full armor of God to the Ephesians, he was in the royal prison. He was dealing with the Praetorian guards. And if any of you saw Gladiator movie, that was in wintertime. They showed up. They had on pants. You know, their shields are 30, 32 inches wide and 4 or 4.5 feet tall. Those suckers weigh close to 70 pounds, I've come to find out, the shields. Those warriors were stout men. They carried that shield with their left hand, and they had to have, or whichever was their, you know, second hand, and they carried their weapon in their primary hand, and they went to war. And he said, I want you to have it all. So he gave me a guideline, and I wrote it down. It's on the Republic website. It's my call to war. Is the name of it. You can look it up, and the prayer call to war. It's extensive. It's like 6 pages of praying, and I do it where you can pray individually or for your family, whatever. My wife and I pray this every day, and I mean, I've been in some hellacious battles. I've seen things that a lot of folks don't get to see, and nasty stuff. I've seen demons and powers, and I've been thrown across the room 10 feet through the air and hit a back wall at a church in Mexico. And we got to praying that night, and I'm going to tell you. I've been shot at, they tried to kidnap me and assassinate me. I've had 18-wheelers come over on my lane for a head-on collision when I was driving a church van. And I said, "Lord, save us." And we went right by it, and my mirror hit the side of the semi. We've seen things that, well, God, I don't want to get in that stuff. You're already in it. Lord said, if you don't put on the armor of God every day, you're showing up naked. So I know that 2/3 of the people on this call are females. Would you show up at work or church naked? The answer is obviously no. We do it in the spirit realm. Every day, the average Christian shows up naked. And I said, so the enemy can see and know the blood. He says, yeah, you got the blood. You got the, but we're not suiting up for war. You're in a war. You're in hand-to-hand combat. It's no longer you're lobbing missiles. So to give you a perfect example, behind the shield, the shield's interlocked with the Roman soldiers. They would link together. And some of the shields had layers of leather, and they say, how did they distinguish the fiery darts? Fiery darts were either arrows with flames on them or what we would consider javelins. And they wetted they had a brass base for those shields and everything, but they had leather covering parts of it, and they would wet it going into battle. So you've increased the weight of it, okay? But when an arrow that's on fire hit it, it would go out. It would extinguish. I said, okay. So he showed, I said, what about the archers? They had to have a shield, but they had to have a bow. And he says, the handle of the shield is the bow of bronze with 12 arrows and 3 darts. Darts are javelins. And he says, as long as you have faith, no matter you shoot an arrow, another one appears. I went, okay. And he says, they're like weapons of mass destruction. Years ago, Gloria Zion was going to build a church, and I kept telling him no, and other prophets kept telling him no. And I'm not a prophet. Okay, I'm a seer. And I says, we're not supposed to be here. We're supposed to be back down the street 20 miles, and that's where we ended up. It was 2010. Went out on his prophet, and the Lord gave me a vision. There was a storm coming in from the east, and it was the most hideous thing I've ever seen. If you've ever seen a tornado storm, the clouds get green-black. It's really weird. You can sense and smell the acid in the air and the lightning and all that. And that was coming from the east. And from the west came Christ and all the horsemen and the saints. And all of a sudden, I'm standing out in this field, and I look around, and people are popping up from under the ground. And they're men and women and children of all ages, all nations. And these are saints. And the angels are putting armor on them. And I says, how can that old woman carry that armor like she's a 22-year-old military guy? And says, because there's no weight to them. And I said, then give me my armor. And an angel gave me this armor. And I describe it in this prayer. Okay. What each area represents. And he says, I want you to dress that way. There's a battle axe that's on your back. There's a sword like a laser sword from Star Wars. It cuts through anything. The shield will stop any attack of the enemy. And the breastplates and everything that's there, he describes it to me. He said, this is your call to war. I want you to suit up every day, you and your family. So we do that. And Francis and I have seen incredible things, and a lot of people ain't got a clue who we are. Lord says, I'm going to keep you hidden away in the midst of what you do. Now, 37,800 people in the Republic, many of them knew who we were and that we did the prayer call. We used to have as many as 500 on a call. It crashed the systems all the time. We couldn't handle it, so we would have people form cell groups, and that cell group would call in and everybody would listen. They'd meet at somebody's house and we'd do that kind of thing. And that wasn't working. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, I want you to cut it back to a few. And I said, what's a few? And he says, it'll be about 24. I said, okay. And I said, then you shut it down. So we did. We closed it down. Didn't invite anybody for years. We only taught those that to be there. And many of those people that Robert just listed were those there. Bruce and Linda, Tim and others. And we've all, the old guard, there's a changing of the guard. Okay, and the old guard, we've either stepped aside or been put aside, but he's called us into other things. And there's work that we all have to do. So he says, I don't care if you're praying, if you're studying, if you're ministering, you have the full armor of God on every day of your life. So my wife and I do this every day.
And we see, those of you who want to know where to find this, you go to the Republic for the United States of America.org. And there are a number of tabs across the top of the page. If you go to the Divine Providence.
Divine Providence.
Tab,
yeah.
If you click on that, you'll see my picture there. Below that is the information for the call dial-in. And the fourth PDF down from that, you see Steve Lubstra, a quote from him. The fourth link down is called My Call to War, 2/7/2023.
And yeah, that was the latest time I updated it. Yeah.
So that's the prayer that Wade is referring to. And he earlier in the call, for those of you who are new, talked about the prayer calendar that he puts together each month. If you go down just below that, you'll see a calendar. And if you click, it says Scriptures for the Healing of the Nation calendar. If you click on that, it'll bring all the calendars for the last, oh my goodness, since 2017, since May of 2017.
When we started posting them, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the two references he talked about. Well, brother, that is just awesome. Something we do on this call as well as we take communion together. And so while you all are gathering your elements, and you know that we're also coming into the time of Seder. It starts actually next weekend, and we'll be into the Feast of the Unleavened Bread next week when we're on a call. So if you've never done a Seder, it's a beautiful time to start to experience that and understand the connection between the Jewish Passover and our communion, which Jesus has commanded us to do frequently. While you're doing that, Wade, you know, you talked about a tornado in heaven, and you talked about the power of the power of the weather. There's a really short story on miracles in American history. I'm going to take a couple of minutes to read it to you, Paul. More British troops were killed by a tornado than all American firearms. We admit the enemy and their sons, explained Oliver Hazard Perry. James Madison, known as the chief architect of the Constitution, wrote many of the Federalist Papers, convincing the states to ratify the Constitution. He introduced the First Amendment to the first session of Congress. At the onset of the War of 1812, President James Madison proclaimed a day of prayer, July 9, 1812, stating, I do therefore recommend rendering the sovereign of the universe public homage, acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke his divine displeasure, seeking his merciful forgiveness, and with a reverence of the unerring precept of our holy religion, to do to others as they would require that others do unto them. The next year, in July 23, 1813, Madison issued another day of prayer, referring to religion, that gift of heaven for the good of man. On April 6, 1814, Napoleon abdicated in Europe and was exiled to the island of Elba. This freed up British forces. Nearly 1,000 American vessels were captured, and 3 invasion armies were sent to New York, New Orleans, and Washington, D.C. On April 24, 1814, a force of 4,500 British soldiers marched towards Washington, D.C. In a panic, citizens evacuated. Dolly Madison and the White House staff were credited with saving the Gilbert Stuart portrait of George Washington by having it cut out of its frame. Her carriage was riding out of the city when British Admiral George Cockburn was riding in. Admiral Cockburn entered the White House and ate dinner, then set it on fire. He had British soldiers sit in the congressman's chairs and hold a mock Congress. When he asked who was in favor of burning the Capitol, they yelled, "Aye," and proceeded to torch the Capitol. the Treasury, the Department of War Building, and the Library of Congress. Suddenly, dark clouds rolled in. Wind and thunder grew into a frightening roar, and lightning began striking. A tornado touched down, sending debris flying, blowing off roofs, knocking down chimney and walls on British troops. Two cannons were lifted off the ground and dropped yards away. Violent winds slammed both horse and rider to the ground. The book, Washington Weather, records British Admiral George Cockburn exclaiming to a lady, "Good God, madam, is this the kind of storm in which you are accustomed to in this infernal country?" To which the lady replied, "No, sir, this is a special interposition of Providence to drive our enemies from our city." A British historian wrote, "More British soldiers were killed by this stroke of nature than from all the firearms of American troops had mustered in the feeble defense of their city." As British forces fled, torrential rains fell for 2 hours, extinguishing the fires. They marched back to their ships with difficulty on roads covered with downed trees, only to find two ships blown ashore and others were with damaged riggings. On September 1, 1814, Madison wrote, "The enemy, by a sudden incursion, has succeeded in invading the capital of the nation. During their possession, though for a single day only, they wantonly destroyed the public edifices, an occasion which appeals so forcibly to the patriotic devotion of the American people. None will forget, independence is now to be maintained with the strength and resources which heaven has blessed." Less than 3 months later, Madison proclaimed a national day of public humiliation, fasting, and prayer to Almighty God on November 16, 1814, stating, "The two houses of the national legislature, having by a joint resolution expressed their desire that in the presence of the public calamity and war, a day may be recommended to be observed by the people of the United States as a day of public humiliation and fasting and of prayer to Almighty God for the safety and welfare of these states, his blessing on their arms and a speedy restoration of peace. I have deemed it proper to recommend a day of humble adoration to the great sovereign of the universe, of confessing our sins and transgressions, and of strengthening their vows of repentance, that he would be graciously pleased to pardon all their offenses." I wonder if that was the Indian influence.
I tell you, well, you know, Washington, Virginia, and Washington was Cherokee land.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yeah, and North Carolina through the coast of Virginia there. Wouldn't surprise me at all. It was not the Hebrew blood calling out from the land. But I had not ever read that, Robert. That blesses you. And once again, I want to thank you all. It wasn't a story I told you. It was the truth.
That's what's so beautiful about it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you a story of history, but it was also true.
Yeah.
So we are not going to be able to take Seder tonight because there's not enough time left. But we can certainly, Wade, did you bring the elements with you, or do you have them nearby?
I did, but I would wonder if Bruce and Linda would lead us.
Well, I was just seeing if you were ready.
Yeah.
Brother Bruce knew he would be called on tonight.
The Lord knew.
The floor is yours.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. We thank you, Father God, that we can humble ourselves and lift our hearts to you and our hands in the heavenlies. I thank you, Father God, that you have borne through your Son, Yeshua. You have borne our sicknesses. You've carried our diseases. By his stripes, we were healed. We are healed. And Father God, you've adopted us into your household as your sons, your daughters, heirs of God, and joint heirs with your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. I thank you, Father God, that his body was broken and his blood was shed for us. And Father, as we take the elements in the communion this evening, Father God, we remember that sacrifice, the sacrifice that was done for us that we might live, move, and have our being in your very presence, Father God, in this life, not just in the future, but in this life. So, Father, as we take the bread right now, Father God, we lift up the name of Yeshua, our Lord, our Savior, our soon-coming King. We thank you for the sacrifice. We receive the victory that he bought with his own body on that cross, and we give you the glory and praise in his precious name. Partake. Father, we thank you as well for the precious blood of your Son shed for the remission of our sins, that our sins are washed away, that you remember them no more. You've cast them as far as the east is from the west. And Father God, we are redeemed by the blood of the perfect Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world and our sins with them. We are clean, pure, and holy in your sight, not through our works of righteousness, Lord, but through the precious blood of our Lord Yeshua. Oh, Father, as we take that blood, that juice tonight, or the drink that we've prepared, I thank you, Father God, for the remembrance of the victory that he wrought as his blood was shed for us. I thank you, Father God, that through the power of the blood and the testimony of the word, we put the devil under our feet. We crush his head in the mighty name of Yeshua. We break the power of every wicked spirit, every evil spirit, every curse causeless that has been spoken against us, and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of the Most High God and the Lord Yeshua. Father God, we put it under our feet. As we take this juice, Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for all that you have done, all that you are now doing in the earth, in our lives, through our lives, for your honor and your glory, and all that you yet shall do. In the mighty name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and we give you the glory and the praise as we take this juice in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
That is Brother Steve. Well, brother, what a rich blessing this evening's been. Thank you. Wow.
I didn't mean to take so much time. I was on a roll. Forgive me.
you're totally forgiven. Before we close the call, I just want to open it up for any comments of praise, of insight, of what God's spoken to your heart. So you want to unmute yourself, state your name. You're free to do that.
Hello, Michael Robleski from the interim county justice in Illinois. I love the fact that you mentioned you love deer backstrap. My wife and I hunt for our food. Oh yeah, we are laughing too. Yeah, we love the fact that you like that. Do you hunt?
Oh, absolutely. I've been an archer all my life, and
oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
I hunt with a bow, a pistol, a rifle.
My wife and I do too. Yes. Yeah, nothing like natural God-given meat, free from hormones and steroids and chemicals, antibiotics, all that stuff. It's wonderful.
You know, I spent months in the hospital here and 6 months in recovery. The biggest thing I had to deal with was the drugs.
Oh.
Oxycontin, muscle relaxers, naproxen, and then gabapentin. They all kill you. I looked them up and I said, you know, you guys have had me on this for 5.5, 6 months. I'm dropping everything. They said, well, you're going to suffer. I said, I'm suffering now from the drugs. It took me about a month and a half to detox.
Wow.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for tonight's
organic
message.
Paul.
Very inspirational tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was the heart. Bring inspiration to you all.
Thank you.
You've done it. Hit a home run, brother.
Yep.
Anyone else?
This is Brian from Reno.
Go ahead, Brian.
I'm very new to this, but it's definitely providential for me. I read the volumes, both volumes of The Reinhabited Republic about 3 months ago now. I don't know how I was invited to this, where this is definitely a God thing. But as I was reading the volumes, I read one of Chaplain Butler's prayers, and it was literally word for word one of my prayers that I had been praying for probably a few years that the Lord had put on my heart. And I instantly knew, oh, wow, this is the real deal. This is the right thing. And I've been sort of out on my own for literally years in trying to figure out what God was doing. And I think he's been showing me over and over, but I had very little confirmation until tonight. And off of what you shared, every bit of that was just like a step by step. Oh, yeah, he just showed me that. Oh, yeah, he just showed me that. And I just can't thank you enough for bringing me into this fold and sharing all that you shared and the shofars and the communion, all this stuff. I've just been out on the island and I'm about to burst into tears with joy for what we just went through. So thank you. Praise you for that.
Yes, you know, the Lord told me when we started this that I was dealing with the wounded and those that had been cast aside and had left different organizations and churches. And I'd been the same way. And he said, I want you to pick them up, dust them off, get them back in the battle. And right now, one of the things Robert and I talked about, I didn't go into great depth, the Republic's under severe attack. We've had folks come in, and I'm not trying to speak against people, but I have to say this. I wrote an article that was published 2 months ago. We have to recognize that not everybody that joins you is a friend. And the truth will come out, but you have to pray it out. So keep praying. There are people that have joined. We did a big campaign to have people join. And the Lord had me step aside. He says, I want you to step aside. And I said, you know, why? And he says, you're not to be involved right now. You know, I've got these assignments for you, and then you're going to come back and you're going to say a few things. Well, that was one of the things I said. We have to be aware that some of the people that are coming in have ulterior motives, and there's great deception and great destruction at hand because the enemy is shotgunning everything. He's trying to get out there and tear down, because the Republic that Trump talks about is not their republic. It's not the people. It's not we the people. It's the world order group that have come in to infiltrate. And it's at the highest levels. And we have a lot of folks that are greatly deceived, and it grieves me. You'll hear some of us talk against it. And you don't want to talk against the people, but the prayers need to be against the powers and principalities that are bringing the influence to tear the Republic down. What they want is a divided Republic. So when Trump turns to the opportunity for us to actually step up and do something, do I think we're going to become the governors and the congressmen, the senators and presidents? No. I think we're going to be used mightily. That's just my personal opinion. That we've been trained in governance, and we'll be everything from mayors to governors, and we will hire senators and congressmen. But it's those that have been prepared, and now what this group that's coming in and telling how wonderful their plans are, they've got documents that were sealed. that they're saying this person's name on it. It's total lies. I was involved with all that back when it came down, when Tim Turner was taken down. And those documents were sealed. The only way they could get it is through the black hat influence of the agencies within the government to take some of these documents and change names and times and dates. And in Gene's book about the trials, you got the truth. Okay? What's coming out is not truth. So I'm just cautioning you and warning y'all. Don't be influenced by it. Make sure that the Lord speaks to your heart. And I do believe from the association that I have with key people within the government, I'm not running with them, but we're associates and I have communication with them. What Trump wants to do is give the nation back to the people, to we the people. It's just like this latest thing, the straw man money that's been set aside, $156 trillion. That could go back into the nation, into the people. Trump's trying to figure out how to do that. Well, to give everybody $1 million is not the way to go. You got to have purpose and reason. So many people would squander. And it's going to take the people that have been educated, brought into governance, and understanding who we are, and that it was based on the Word of God. They want to get the Word of God out of it. So many of those that are coming in, and the wickedness is going to be exposed, and the deception is going to be exposed, but many are being hurt along the way. So please, in your prayers, put on the full armor of God and go to war for the nation. Never, ever stand in the gap for anybody or anything unless the Lord tells you to. You can stand in the gap for your family, okay? But many times what that is, if you get in the way of what God's bringing judgment on somebody and you go to stand in the gap and God is dealing with them, he's got to move you out of the way, and it's never pretty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's a parallel way to what you just talked about with Tammy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's such a parallel. We get overzealous in terms of our prayers, thinking we're so sure, and we're actually in error.
You know, to plead the blood of Yeshua from the inside out, it's a whole different understanding. It's just like the word that I said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and Bruce just prayed it. And the word of the testimony, the word of the testimony is his word. Our testimony is our testimony. But and testimony means to repeat. Look it up, okay? So it's to repeat the word of God that he said in a situation, a circumstance. You put on the full armor of God, the blood of Yeshua, and you bring the word. Now, I didn't lace it with a whole lot of word tonight because Robert called me up and I was in the middle of doing taxes, and I said, yeah, it is my turn, isn't it? And so I didn't do the time to pull all that scripture together that I like to lace it with, but I brought you the foundation of what the Lord has shown me. And
you started that foundation perfectly at the beginning when you said, Lord, here we are, more than two gathered in your name. I've never been in a service anywhere where anyone's prayed that, and I prayed that every time. I opened the Nevada session this last session with that prayer.
Glory to God.
Don't you love confirmation?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's
Debbie Charles, North Carolina.
Debbie, just before you, I give you the floor. Wade, what's the name of the letter that you wrote with exposing those who took sealed documents and changed them? Do you remember the title, and where would it be found?
It's posted, and let me go to. Oh, let me look on what I sent. If I go to my sent file, I can find it.
Okay. I didn't know if it was under the president's executive page or whether I didn't see
it. I think it is. Sandy posted it, but let me have Debbie talk and let me look.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Debbie.
Thank you. And it's good to hear your voice, Wade Butler. I've heard a lot about you and read a lot about you, and I appreciate everything you've said tonight. But my concern right now is the water filters for Western North Carolina. Can anyone report on the status? 16 filters were brought to an airfield in Hickory on the 22nd of March. I was just wondering if we know anything.
You know, possibly Governor Carpenter, he's on the call. He may know
if
there has been an update on that. So hold on, Deb. Jim, do you have an update from Lewis on that? Oh, I'm sorry. I have to unmute you. Oh, there you go. You're unmuted.
Thank you, Robert. Good evening, everyone. Nice to hear from you, Wade. God bless you, sir. Praise the Lord for your quick healing and endurance to run the race and finish. The water filters, they did arrive, but our point of contact, Brian, had been out of town. And when he got back, it was Tuesday before he was able to get reengaged. Then the storm started hitting and the flooding and yada, yada, yada. And he's had his hands busy. I think Governor Niles had maybe had a conversation with him this week, but I know I've talked to Governor Niles many times and he's not shared that they actually made it to the destination just yet. But they're certainly in the process of getting there. So thank you for asking. We need prayers for that project and that seed that we planted, that God would provide provision for us to continue the race and continued donations to flow in, and we could continue spreading his love through the water mission. And so thank you. I yield.
Governor Carpenter?
Yes.
This is Debbie again. Do we have any feeling for the people who want to bring down the Republic having anything to do with these water filters not going any further than where they've been?
Well, yeah, if they're believing in atmospheric warfare, weather warfare, most definitely. So, but no, we have been so blessed with the connections and the rock solid people that we have involved in this. And our cure and the track, they're monitored with a GPS, so we know exactly where they're at. And in case something happens, they get swept away in a flood or somebody decides to move one, we'll still be able to track them. So it's just a matter of a lot of work and a few hands and a lack of money. And all that's coming to a change because I read the book. It said, the wealth of the wicked will be returned unto the righteous. And that's the side I'm on. And we're going to win. Thank you for asking.
You know, Debbie, I'd like to weigh in on that as well to say that I believe that it is very much in God's timing. It's very slow. It's very steady. But as Governor Carpenter says, some very powerful connections are being developed. And where the prayer work needs to go is that the liaison and the links to the Trump administration, which is breaking this whole FEMA stronghold, that those channels get established. And they are being established. They're just slower than we, slower than we like, but they are steady. They're very strong. So, you know, pray for a breakthrough with those connections.
Robert, let me address Debbie also. Debbie, we haven't talked in a while. You know, I came under such horrendous attack, and I know that it's I get a little emotional on this one. The viciousness that I was attacked under, and the drugs that they gave me, Barrett, you'd appreciate this. One week there, when this has been going on since August. And finally, you know, I'm getting to the point. I finished therapy in 3 weeks. I had to learn how to walk. I didn't tell people this. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do hardly anything. The drugs wiped out my memory. And where I could quote scripture or sing songs, I already had issues, but now it really got bad. We were going to see my daughter with my grandkids. I could not remember my grandkids' names. And I said, I'm getting off all this stuff if it kills me. If the pain kills me, I'm getting off this stuff. I couldn't remember my grandson's names. And I said, okay, this is not natural. It's not right. And I did the research and found out that I was not even supposed to be on those kind of drugs with my former conditions. They had me on things that would kill me, wipe out my brain, cause heart attacks. And I said, okay, I don't know that these people are demonic, but I'm done. So I went in and started breaking all those links and chains. About the same time, a month or so ago, when Tammy was going through, I was going through. And I went through withdrawals. I totally understand drug addicts. I mean, I would scream.
One more.
Every cell in your body hurts so bad you can't even, you can hardly breathe. And I was in battles, and I was not available for you or anybody else, and I do apologize for that. I'm working with many of those contacts that Robert's making reference to. We have gotten it to the Doge people. We have gotten these things to other key, all the way up to the State Department. One of them, they're getting ready to receive my information tomorrow. I'll be hand-delivering some of these things to those folks in private meetings within the next 3 to 4 weeks to keep on after them. They had so many issues that he was trying to take care of that were ahead of us. You know, he did release billions. He did get things going. He fired. He let go. He took it away from FEMA and others. And so many things happened that, you know, has been good, but still not resolved all the issues. So we're trying.
Well, if I can help you and something, if this is okay, in the state of North Carolina, the governor and Treasury Department with the state, all the money that they are giving to Western North Carolina has to go through the NGOs.
Oh, see, that's just straight more corruption.
Oh,
that's more corruption. Nothing's getting there.
Do you know this for a fact, do you, Debbie? Do you know for the fact that it's that state money has to go through NGOs?
Yes. All you have to do is read all of his stuff. Josh Stein is giving it to the people that donated to him, his NGOs. And then the Treasury Department, we don't know why their money hasn't gone out. And why there are two separate ones, we don't know that either. You can't get information from them.
Yeah.
We the people.
That's the area to do the prayer work on breaking that stronghold and have that revealed. So the things that are hidden to be brought to light on that. That's the first I've heard that the state of North Carolina is required to dole out the money that Trump freed up for him through NGOs. That's just as bad as sending it through FEMA.
I don't know that if any of this any of this money has anything to do with Trump. I don't know that.
Well, yes, it does. He freed up money from that we were giving to hotels and cell phones and debit cards to people who are illegal coming into our country. He freed up that money and released it to the North Carolina and two or three other states there. You're the first feedback I've heard that money is being can only be sent out through NGOs. I don't know. I mean, if you've got something that is credible,
well,
if
you'll give me an email address, I'll send you what I know.
Okay, great. So razuluaga@msn.com. And that's spelled Zuluaga. @msn.com. You could also post you could also post it on Wire.
Oh, I'll do that.
Very good.
I've just found the Wire success, and I'm getting stuff from it.
Very good.
Thank you.
I don't monitor it very much, so if you want to get it to me, you'll need to send it to that email. Otherwise, it's a dart shoot if I get it or not. All right, we'll move on. Is there anyone else who wants to share here before we turn off the recording?
This is Adrienne from
Robert.
Connecticut. I wanted to say something real quick.
Go ahead, Adrienne.
Yeah, just another exceptional prayer call, and you have reminded us all that this is the test of all tests we're in right now. But going right back to the beginning when you started speaking about being fed the heavenly wisdom and receiving what you need, The Lord provides, and there's no excess, no greed. We will get what we need, so we're all going to be okay.
Amen. And Adrian, the Lord just spoke to me. I had myself muted. I went to say something to Robert, and the Lord said, Adrian's going to speak next. I was thinking I need to tell Robert to call on you, because Holy Ghost said Adrian's going to speak next, so that was just immediate confirmation to me, you know.
I get it. Yeah, sir. Any loved ones tonight.
You know. Praise and Robert, God. I sent you that email that I sent to Sandy and Jim.
Oh,
and that you can post or send to anybody that wants it.
Okay.
And it's a word from Lana Vosser that was exactly what we were going through, and then I did a cover over it, the cover letter, and I'm just going to pop it back up here, and it just said members of the Republic talk about me to people and what is being said, and then I go into Lana's. It was my people arise, arise, arise. This is the hour dealing with significant opposition against your assignment. And our assignment was to, you know, mine was to bring encouragement and prophetic word to the bride within the Republic. And governance is what so many of you are called to. I was the first Secretary of State. And after 2 years, Robert and I and one other person were working on a balancing the budget. We actually did a program that would balance the budget, and then Obama took it up and quadrupled it before we could do anything or say anything. And the Lord says, I want you to step down from there. I want you to remain as the chaplain. I've called you to do that. And that's what I did. And, Lord took me out of the political side. He said, I want you to concentrate on the word and bring encouragement to my sons and daughters that have been beat up.
Praise God.
Praise God. That's speaking to me too, Wade. I was Secretary of Commerce, and although I still am, it's the chaplaincy that is where the calling is. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a shift we went through, Robert.
Golly.
Yeah. I was messing with Robert earlier, and I got him laughing about, you know, some things. We're, you know, sometimes I had to go back. The Lord had me pray and join a pastors and prophets group out of Canada with the Republic. Okay. And since then, Grant Abraham, who is the leader of the conservative movement as a Christian, and I have become dear friends, and Barry Wuntz and many of the others up there, I've met military leaders and all that. They are in worse shape than we are. They have lost their military. Now it's all UN forces, over 500,000 Chinese, plus another couple hundred thousand of illegals. There's only the entire nation of Canada doesn't have the population of the state of Texas.
Jeez.
Okay, and they've had everything taken from them. And we have, the Lord said if we would join forces, that he would take down the spiritual wall between Canada and the United States. I had not read Bob Jones' prophecy that it would become North America the Great. It would no longer be called United States of America or Canada. It would be called North America the Great, and that would happen one day. He prophesied that before he died in 2014, and the Lord says, we're going to take down that wall. I can't show it to you because we're not on a Zoom. They presented me with a flag 6 months ago. It's half the United States flag and half the Canadian flag, and they said, we made this flag. There's only four of them in existence, the leader of Canada's conservative movement, the prophet of Canada, you and one other person now have this flag representing that the walls have been taken down between Canada and the United States. And I had to call him up after 1 week, and Robert will totally get this because I had to say something to him today. I called up and I said, I need to ask you all to forgive me. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, I forgot to tell you the count to cost. I said, because you're entering a war that's no longer your backyard demons and little monkeys that you're dealing with. You're dealing with powers and principalities of nations. I said, I've been doing that for years with the Republic. And I said, people don't have any idea what you go through.
Wade failed to mention that to me when he passed the torch.
Yeah, I told him, I said, I forgot to tell you that, you know.
Well, now I know, right? So
yeah, you know. Yeah, I said that.
Did you ever learn to swim? You know, some people were you know, in the shallow end of the pool and, you know, yeah, learned to breaststroke. And other people got thrown over the pier. And I think you threw me over the pier, brother.
I figured you can handle it because the Lord said you were going to be the person. So, but, you know, when we get into this warfare that you're all in, you're in it whether you wanted to be or not. Once you join this organization, and you're no longer just the United States, just the United States and Canada. They want to be that we, Tim Turner and myself and two others, we helped them write, we gave them the books, and we helped them write their constitution and their articles of incorporation to form a republic form of government for Canada, separating himself from the Queen and the Parliament, and going to what we know that's supposed to be the form of government based on the Word of God. And that's what they've been fighting for. And we've had pastors lose their churches, have their families broken up, end up in divorces. These are mighty men and women of God that have been in such warfare that the families couldn't take it. Men that were rich that are now to the point of, how am I going to pay to buy food for my kids? It's not. What we're in is a warfare to end all warfares. We're against that which the enemy has brought down. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. What I'm trying to tell you is he gives you the tools. He says, I want to sit down and talk to you. I want you to come up. I want you to talk to me. You put on the armor of God. You don't take on anything that I don't tell you to take on. Now, Mark Binder is a good man. He should understand that too. He's a great teacher. Okay? And, you know, you don't get in a fight you don't need to be in. You don't get in a fight you know you're not going to win. You don't get in a fight just to fight. You don't stand in the hedge for somebody that God didn't tell you to stand in the hedge for. Okay? You plead the blood from the core outward. There's basic principles. There's a guy that, Richard is no longer on the call. He moved and he's taking care of his elderly family and he's gotten up there. He was literally, his family came over on the Mayflower. That's how long his family's been in here. Richard was on our call for 7 or 8 years. And finally, 3 years ago, when he had to go do something else, go to take care of the elderly family and work and do everything he could, he said, Wade, he says, I finally got it. I said, Richard, what are you talking about? He said, the Lord showed me what you've been doing, and I finally got it. And I said, Richard, if you're the only one out of all these years and all this effort, that has finally got it, that was worth everything. We're in a battle for the soul of a nation. And it's nations now.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah. I'm going to part with it. That's the bell that says time for Wade to shut up.